A reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for inviting me to be here. Thank you, Pastor Albee. Thank you for your gift last week. Was that last week?
Last month.
Thank you for your gift to the Isaiah organization. And if you give me a chance, I'll talk lots about the Isaiah organization. But what I want to really talk about as we get started is the scripture that we were just seeing dramatized up here. One of the great things about reading scripture over the years, even over the decades in your life, is that there are things that stick out to you at one point that maybe you didn't pay any attention to or even notice at another point. It's not that scripture changed, but you did. Or the circumstances around your life did. And so when Pastor Albee said, the day that you come and preach, we're going to be using the scripture of Samuel and Eli, I took a look at it again and realized I probably hadn't read that for a while. Unlike our Samuel this morning, I have actually read it. But I hadn't read it for a while. And in rereading it, I discovered a mistake. It's in the first verse that we read. In those days, the word of God was rare. And I thought, I think that's a mistake. Whoever wrote it made a mistake, because How could that be true? How could the word of God be rare? I mean, that's like saying in those days water wasn't wet. In those days the wind didn't blow. How could that be true? You know the old joke. If a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it, it doesn't make a noise. I'm going to spoil that joke for you today because I know the answer. The answer is yes. Yes, it makes a noise. Maybe no one was there to hear the word of God. In those days, the word of God was rare. I don't think so. I think perhaps in those days, those willing to, able to listen, those having ears to hear, were rare, including the priest, Eli. That's the other thing I've noticed about my reading of this story later in life, and maybe it's just because I'm getting old. Because I used to think that the main character in the story was Samuel. Now I'm starting to think it's Eli. Maybe. But what Pastor Obi said in the children's sermon, what the children said back, is that God can speak through anyone, any of us, Malala, any of us. God can speak through any of us. But like the tree in the woods, is there anyone to listen? Samuel got up three times, went over to Eli. What do you want? What are you calling me for? Eli said, go to bed. I'm not calling you. Now, to Eli's credit, on the third time, he got it. On the third time, he said, you know, it might be it's God speaking to you. So just answer this way. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The reason I'm feeling like Eli might be the main character in the story, at least for me, at this time in my life, and I think for the church at this time in our life, is because I resemble Eli a lot, and I think the church resembles Eli a lot. God is speaking perhaps all the time, perhaps constantly, perhaps overflowing voluminous amounts of words, communication coming our way. God is speaking all the time, everywhere. That's the thing I think about God. And yet, is there anyone listening? Or are we saying, go back to bed? Go back to bed, you had a dream. Go back to bed. On the third time, Eli said, next time, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I have noticed in my church, I don't think you mentioned this, I'm a Lutheran.
It's all right, you're safe here.
Yeah. I've noticed in my church, but I think this is true in the UCC, I think it's true in the Presbyterian Church, I think it's even true in the Catholic Church. I think it's true in almost every one of our denominations. So we're getting, like me, grayer and grayer as a church. And I don't think it's because we've been convinced that God can't speak through us. We did learn the story as children, that God could speak through us, and we've been listening for that. But I do wonder how attentive we have been about whether or not God can speak through someone else. Go back to bed. It's not you. I didn't call. So that when someone like Malala says, I believe that I am worthy. I believe that I am worthy of an education. I believe that I am worthy of taking up space in the world. I believe that I am worthy of making a contribution to the world, the religious community around her. Said no, and they said no in a violent way, almost killing her. When women, earlier for you folks than for us in the Lutheran Church, said, I believe that I have something to say. I believe I should wear one of these. I believe I should stand in the front of the church. We as a church, for so long, said, go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the time. When gay people said, I believe that I should be in front of the church. I believe I can bring a word from God to the church. We said, no, no, no. Go back to bed. And the problem with that is so large and so the problems are so numerous because not only do we as the church deprive ourselves of the word from God that would come from an unexpected place, we relinquish our role as the priest of giving advice. Eli said, go back to bed. If it happens again, say this. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Eli taught something. If it happens again, you may be listening to the voice of God. Stand ready to listen. Stand in the humility. Stand in the awesomeness of what that means for you. Could you imagine if when the young people who organized themselves across this country angrily, out of desperation, call themselves Black Lives Matter. Could you imagine if we, as the church, Eli, could you imagine if we would have collectively said to them, if you hear the message again, stand up and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and said to them, stand with us in the awesomeness of the moment when God speaks to you. Because the community is going to hear it. Is going to need to hear it. What would have been different about how this whole conversation has played out in this country? What might have been different if the church had collectively, like Eli the third time, said there may be a word coming through you. Stand in humility and hear it. And then the second thing that Eli did after that happened was say, now tell me what you heard. Tell me what you heard. See, Eli had a number of problems. Eli had expected his own sons to become the next priests in that place. His own, that's how it worked in those days. We wouldn't do a call committee that way. But that's how it worked in the time in the Old Testament. It was passed down in the family. So Eli knew where he expected the word of God to come from, but his sons were blasphemers, it says. They were not going to be the next in line to hear the words of God. It was the boy who took care of the ark. It was the boy he did not expect. It was the one who just was the caretaker left there to be part of the establishment, but never expected to be a voice piece for the word of God. So Eli, the second time, says, now tell me what you heard. Imagine if that is how we, the modern Eli's, the church. Imagine if that was how we responded when women, when people who are gay or lesbian, when people who rally under the banner of Black Lives Matter, imagine if our response, although slow, was eventually to say, "Now teach us. Now tell me. And if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. So tell me what God is saying to you." This is why all week long I have been thinking that the first verse that we read today is wrong. In those days, the word of God was rare. It was not. It was not. But those who were able to hear it, where it was being spoken, were scarce. We may be in such a time again. In our country, we have a harder and harder time hearing one another. I feel like this has become very evident to us in the last 11 months, or a little more maybe. We have a harder and harder time listening to one another. The organization that I work for, have been for many, many years, whether I was on staff or not, the Isaiah organization has been kind of put back on our heels these last 11 months, thinking we're supposed to be creating social, racial, and economic justice, and we have just had this grand experience, grand, not in the positive way, but enormous experience that we don't even know each other. We maybe have even lost the ability to listen to each other. And so we're embarking on the kind of campaign that we have never embarked on before. We're doing house meetings. We've done house meetings before, but not to this extent. We're planning on 6,000 people being in house meetings between now and the end of the year. 1,000 people leading house meetings, inviting 6 to 10 people each into their house meetings, so that we can listen, so that we can potentially hear what is it that God might be speaking, God might be saying to us through people we would not expect. Each other, but not only that, our neighbors, perhaps people we're in clubs with or work with, but perhaps people we don't even know very well. What might it mean if we were to sit in a room, our own living rooms, and ask, "How is life going for you? What are the pains that you are experiencing? What is the hope? What gives you hope in the midst of those pains? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." It's a campaign that I think is designed to put us in a holy place with one another, to take up our role collectively as Eli and listen to what God might be saying through unexpected folks. Sometimes folks who disagree with us politically. Sometimes folks who disagree with us about the hymns we should sing at church on Sunday. You probably don't have that problem. Sometimes folks who disagree with us theologically. "Speak, Lord, your servants are listening." That's the campaign that we're in. Now, we do intend to take that campaign into the public arena. Encourage all those folks who will listen to go caucus with, or whoever they caucus with. Because we think that people learning how to talk with one another should work its way into the whole public discussion. Should work its way into everything that we do together as a state of Minnesota. But for me, I never lose track of what is the holy moment at the center of all of this thing that we're trying to do. The holy moment at the center is, can we hear the voice of God? Or do we believe, as the writer said, that the voice of God, the word of God, was rare in our day? I think it's not. I think what's become rare is our ability to hear it in places we weren't expecting.